breaking the sixth commandment leads to murder. Contraception, adultery, fornication, sterilization, breakdown of the family are the forerunners of murder. Father Harden's warning is reminiscent of the valor of a St. John the Baptist or a Jeremiah who, by condemning evil, suffered martyrdom and went straight to heaven. When will we be willing to speak out against an evil so great, the likes of which have never before been seen in all human history? Like courageous men and women of old, let us say, "Here am I, Lord. I come to do your will."
Our present conference is on breaking the sixth commandment leads to murder. There are some topics that are certainly not either familiar or, I would say, not welcome in most circles. They depend on the faith of the audience. There are not many audiences I would speak on this subject to. Who ever heard of the sixth commandment as leading to a murder? Indeed, it has led to the most murderous age in recorded human history. First then, something about our homicidal age. A term I've begun using, at least for the last 10 years, we are living in the most murderous, homicidal century of all recorded human history. There have been more death casualties in wars fought since 1900 than in all the deaths in all the wars from the dawn of human history up to 1900. There have been more people dying of starvation because of the political and economic designs of so-called developed nations, more since 1900 than ever before, accumulatively, in all the recorded centuries before. In India alone, the average is 100,000 people die of starvation every month. There have been more aging people who have been, what verb shall I use, who have had their lives terminated since 1900 in all the centuries from the dawn of history to the year 1900. as one Catholic nurse in one home for the aged, and the East told me, in 5 years, she counted 3,000 aged people murdered by the administration. There have been more martyrs, men, women, and children, who have shed their blood for Christ since 1900 than all the martyrs since what used to call the Age of Martyrs. All the 19 centuries put together, we've had more martyrs since 1900 than in the 19 centuries before. In the Sudan alone, 2 million Catholics starved to death by the Muslims for refusing to deny the divine maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But that is not the main focus of my presentation. My main focus is on the willful homicide of abortion. In Russia, in the 70 years of communist domination, the annual average has been 16 million abortions every year. Now in China, one child allowed. America's peace treaty, may God forgive us. America's peace treaty with Japan, one condition, that Japan start murdering its unborn children as a condition. Never called it peace with the United States. In our own country, the most recent and reliable study shows that an estimated 9,600,000 to 14,300,000 mechanical and surgical abortions every year in the last 20 years, giving us, since murder has been legalized in America since 1973, an estimated minimal 193 million up to 286 million abortions. Surely, ours is the bloodiest century in recorded history. Only one risk I take when I speak this language. How will I know? Most of my fellow Americans have been so drugged by the media so mesmerized by those who control the mind shaping of our country. As I was writing these words on my knees, I told our Lord, is it worth it? Or am I just going to waste their time and my time? So far, part one. Part two. Unchastity to murder. What we ask ourselves is behind these astronomical homicidal figures. The explanation is plain. Behind these murders, and I could have chosen one allegedly civilized country after another, behind these murders is the casual acceptance of contraception in one once civilized country after another. It is a corresponding denial that contraception is a grave sin of lust. Sexual gratification is sought and bought and attained, one excluding both of the two divinely ordained purposes of intercourse, intercourse is not just permissible, but divinely commendable, only to married people between themselves. As I was flying back from Rome last Friday, after my 10 days in Albania, then reporting to my Vatican superiors Friday morning before leaving back to the United States, I did all I could to keep myself from being distracted through an hours-long film featuring a woman marrying four husbands in a row. And the man who wanted to marry her in the first place, he then ended up, he was then her fifth spouse. All so humorous, all so enjoyable, all so lecherous. As Catholics, we believe that contraception seeks carnal pleasure, while deliberately excluding the conception of a child. Believing Catholics also believe that contraception seeks sexual satisfaction on the pretended 47 years in the priesthood. Twenty-five years of teaching my own Jesuits their theology have taught me many things. Contraception is practiced on the pretended claim of fostering the mutual love of husband and wife. Actually, it is a fostering of selfish sexual pleasure while the man uses the woman and she uses the man to increase their sexual satisfaction through the use of contraception. I'm only just beginning my presentation. The situation is more serious still. Not a few bishops of the Catholic Church have become convinced that contraception is not a grave sin. Except for my work for the Holy See, I would not dare use the language that I'm using. Not only for many hierarchs is it not a grave sin, it's not a sin at all. It is, as one bishop on the front page recently of his diocesan paper, as plain as print can make it, it is up to the conscience of each married couple to decide on their own whether they should have children or practice contraception. The bishops themselves have been deeply influenced by dissident nominally Catholic, how they call themselves, theologians, like Charles Curran. For 18 years, Curran held his post at the Catholic University of America, backed by the Episcopal Board of Directors, until the Vicar of Christ himself had to step in. And then, for a period of about 3 years, Curran defended himself to the cost of $50,000 a month against the Holy See, to make sure he'd remain on the faculty while continuing to teach that contraception is thoroughly consistent with Catholic morality. Perhaps priest confesses. Tell their penitents that contraception is not sinful. Books in religious instruction for the young people. Monographs for teachers and religious administrators, with few but very few exceptions, in the English language, simply abet, support contraception without blinking an eye. With all of this background, is it any wonder that to even dare raise the subject of sins against the sixth commandment leading to a murder is unpardonable? By the way, thank you for remaining in church and not walking out. Our responsibility . The single most important need here is to be absolutely clear. Any fuzziness of thought, any ambiguity of language is deadly. You must be absolutely clear. The verdict of recorded history going back to pre-Christian times, the verdict is that contraception always, always leads to abortion. The contraceptive mind is a self-seeking mind. The contraceptive will is a self-gratifying will. The contraceptive mentality is a self-loving mentality. And I don't hesitate concluding, the contraceptive nation is a self-adoring nation. Having taught comparative religion over the years, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Jainism, you name it, I tell people that the paganism of ancient times used to be polytheistic, a plurality of gods, but no more. The new paganism is monotheistic, one God, and that one God is self. And all the evidence shows abortion is a result of a selfishness that does not want to sacrifice self for the sake either of pregnancy and birth or the costly but loving nurture of a newborn child. What America needs more than anything else is self-giving women, loving women, women who give themselves and give themselves, who love, how America is starving through authentic, honest to God love. All the pro-abortion propaganda is slanted towards the self-will of, the pregnant woman, her choice is what matters. Her concern is important. Her desires are the norm of morality. Her will dominates all other wills, including the will of God. Not only the rights of the child, but even the rights of God, God the Creator, are ignored or even openly denied in the worship of what I've been calling the new paganism, whose deity is the self. Oh, how well prepared we are. As far as I know, I've done years of research. I know of no other language in the world that capitalizes the pronoun I except the English language. It is therefore not only the rights of the child that are swept aside, it is the rights of God that are ignored. All of this we may have heard, and it is worth repeating, but I want to be clear, as I've told my pre-students over the years, whatever else you are when you preach, be clear, be clear. The issue we are facing is the role of lust as leading to murder. Needless to say, we have no option. Abortion as willful homicide will be stopped or even partially brought under control only if the people of a nation begin to practice chastity. All this needs to be shouted from the tips of the Empire State Building or in India from the crest of Mount Everest in the Himalayas. Here, if you wish, is the logic. unchaste people practice contraception. Contraception leads to abortion. Abortion is murder. Words, in my judgment, could not be clearer. Either we restore chastity, or we shall never stop the massive crime of abortion. Everything that our Catholic faith tells us is needed to restore and preserve chastity must be used if we are to even begin to control the most widespread, disastrous, devastating crime of abortion in all of the history of mankind. I would like to make some recommendations. Having spent most of my life in training and teaching priests, I recommend your favoring those priests and those confessors who you know accept the teaching of Pope Paul VI and Encyclical Humanae Vitae. I'd rather crawl onto the floor of this building than have to say the following, but I believe God wants me to say it. Pray for the conversion of priests and bishops who condone contraception. Their salvation is at stake. Favor the reading of books, magazines, and newspapers which recognize the sinfulness of contraception. Oh, how much would have to be done to our Catholic press in America to meet this norm. In the nature of things, many people enter our lives, but what a difference between knowing people, even having what we call acquaintances, and forming friendships with people who believe in the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception. Pray daily for the preservation of your own virtue of chastity in your own state of life. Make sacrifices. Chastity is not preserved by the shaking of the hand or the flip of a finger. Chastity is costly. Chastity is expensive. Chastity demands sacrifice. What a difference between seeing things and looking at them. What a difference between hearing things and listening to what you hear. When I listen, I want to hear. When I look, I want to see. Use your will to control, especially the eyes and the ears. We need to be convinced, and I mean convinced, that not to control the sex passions is to let loose the passion of homicide. The relationship of these two passions, which means unchaste self-love and selfish homicide, is closer than we realize. During my graduate studies in Rome as a priest in the early 50s, I came to know well a fellow Jesuit from Poland who survived 4.5 years in the Dachau Nazi concentration camp. He was a linguist, so the Nazis kept him alive. During the many sleepless nights, one of you said, those of us, professionals, couldn't sleep for sheer starving hunger. We would talk, sometimes all night, and ask ourselves, how can human beings be so cruel? The SS troopers, men and women, his job, my friends, was to wheel the bodies, just gassed to death in the gas chambers, over to the furnace to be burned. But you never knew on the way to Mails when you'd be the next one shot down. When millions, millions were killed by the Nazis. Finally we found out every single one of both the men and women, SS troopers, the incarnation of homicidal hatred, everyone was a sexual pervert. There is just so much pleasure that the sex passion can provide the human body. Beyond that, it looks for pleasure by causing agonizing pain to its victims. Who would have thought that Americans would be responsible for some 200 million murders in the last 20 years. Yet America is so pornographic, so sexually intoxicated, so sexually hypnotized, that the inevitable has taken place. Why? Because you do not let loose the passion of lust without releasing the passion of murder. Lord Jesus, we beg you to enlighten our beloved country so that we may see and understand what you want to teach us, that if we are to do our part to restore our nation to some semblance of moral sanity, it can only be by your grace, dear Lord, bringing back the practice of Christian chastity, because, dear Jesus, as chastity goes, so goes justice, and as justice goes, so goes charity. Through the merits of your mother, we ask you to enlighten our minds so that, having recovered our sanity in the practice of chastity, we may also recover our sanity and the respect for unborn human life. Amen. Again, I thank you for listening to me.